Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Father.
A very special welcome to St. Benedict's. If you're visiting us for the first time, we hope you feel at home among us. And we want to greet our friends following us on Facebook Live. We hope that you can pray with us and be connected with us as we worship this Sunday. There was a young woman who wrote her former fiancé, and I say former because she broke off the engagement, former fiancé, a note that read something like this. Dear Jimmy, no words could ever express the great unhappiness I've felt since breaking our engagement. Please say you'll have me back. No one could ever take your place in my heart. Please forgive me. I love you, I love you, I love you. Yours forever, Mary. P.S. Congratulations on winning the 20 million state lottery. Ulterior motives? And then there was a young man who wrote his girlfriend something like this. Oh, sweetheart, if this world was as hot as the Sahara Desert, I would crawl on my knees to find you. And if the world would be like the Atlantic Ocean, I would swim those shark-infested waters to come to you. And I would fight the fiercest dragon to be by your side. And I hope to see you on Thursday if it doesn't rain. Love. Love is such a misused word. When Jesus speaks of love, he speaks of something radically different than what we understand love to be. And if you think about it, this entire 15th chapter of John, this final discourse of Jesus to his disciples, comes to an interesting kind of wrap-up today. Because next week when we come, by the way, it'll be the last Sunday in Easter, but it jumps from John 15 to John 17. So this is as much John 15 as we're going to get this year. But I love John 15. I think you all know that. I've told you this is my favorite, kind of one of my favorite gospels. Luke 15 and John 15, I kind of juggle those two. But I'll tell you, love, as Jesus understands it, or love the Jesus way, is very, very different from what the rest of our society and our world tells us about love. And it's important for us to think about what it meant for those early Christians when they heard there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Abide in me as I abide in you. Abide in my love as I abide in you. Love one another as I have loved you. There's a huge connection here. See, we started out John's gospel talking about the vine and the branches, about being connected to Jesus. And then Jesus clearly states that we get pruned by the Father. There's a pruning that occurs when we choose to live in God's love. It's this sacrificial love. So it's not enough to say we love like Jesus. We too must give our lives. That's the sacrificial love. That's the love that knows no limits. That's the Christian love that we're called to. There was an elderly gentleman already into his 90s. And he went to the doctor's office in the morning to get his stitches from his thumb removed. He had gotten some stitches some time ago because he fell and had an accident, and so he needed to get those stitches removed. And as he got to the doctor's office, he had an 8 o'clock appointment, and they were falling a little behind, like often happens in doctor's offices. And one of the nurses overheard this elderly gentleman say, "But I must go at 9 o'clock. I have an important appointment with my wife at 9 o'clock, at 9 o'clock. So they could feel his anxiety about running late. And so one of the nurses approached the very kind doctor, and the doctor says, "Don't worry, I'll take care of it." So the doctor took him in early as he could, so he didn't have to wait so long, and brought him and said, "I understand you're in a hurry to get to your appointment." He says, "Oh, yes, yes, I have to be at breakfast with my wife at 9 o'clock. "At breakfast?" He says, "Yes." He says, "Oh, is your wife okay?" He said, "Well, the truth is she's not okay. She's had Alzheimer's disease for about 6 or 7 years now, and really she doesn't even recognize me, but I have to be there at 9 o'clock for breakfast." And he said, "Well, why do you have such urgency to get there? She may not know that you're just running a little late, and she really doesn't know you." "Oh," she said, "Doctor, that's not the problem. She may not know who I am, but I know who she is. I know who she is." That's the kind of love Jesus is talking about. You see, it's the sacrificial love. It's the love that knows no limits. It's that love that is willing to do more than expected. I usually don't talk about political figures too much in my sermons, and I don't like to do partisan politics, but there was a picture that came out in social media the other day that really struck me, and it was our former Vice President, Joe Biden. He was going with his daughter to the theater. And on his way, as he was walking to the theater, there was a homeless man there. And Mr. Biden stopped and took out some money to help the homeless man. And he did not know that as he was doing this, 20, 30 feet away, there was someone taking his picture. So it was published all over the, you know, social media and stuff. This is what Vice President or former Vice President Joe Biden did as he was going to the theater. And I was thinking, you know, that's the kind of love, that's the kind of random act of kindness that really does change the world. Because sometimes we think we have to do these great, amazing things, you know, these heroic things. But the truth is, those small things make a huge difference. And it doesn't matter if someone is watching or not. It matters because God has called us to love. Love is not about convenience. It's not about how you feel today or how you will feel tomorrow. Love is about the conviction that we've been created to love and to live in love. And because we've been created to love and live in love, we must be more loving people. And the more Christ-like we are in our loving of each other, the more we're carrying out that which we pray every time we say the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It is God's will for us that we be more loving people. We live in a time where there are many theories, many ideas, theological ideas, political ideas. They tell us that agnosticism and atheism is on the rise. I'd like to think it's not true, but that's what they say. There's a lot of indifference toward religious things. And if you think about it, even, you know, I have been at this for a long time. And I studied philosophy, theology, and back and forth. And I can tell you the one thing that really, really attracts me about Christianity and about being a follower of Jesus is his commandment to love. Because ultimately, only love will transform this world. And if we are more loving people, and we love each other the way Jesus taught us to love, then we're doing what God wants us to do. They will know we are Christians by our love. They will know we are followers of Jesus Christ if we love the way Jesus has taught us to love. All of the words, all of the theology, all of the doctrine, and all of the religious practices won't do it. But love will. The great Dr. Albert Schweitzer, remember him? Phenomenal humanitarian, Nobel Prize winner. He was a doctor, a medical doctor. He was a theologian, philosopher, brilliant man. When he built his hospital in West Africa as a missionary, he did it with great sacrifice, great love. A lot of people thought he was crazy for doing it. Big mammoth job. It was very, very successful. And people would go there on missions often and see him. And obviously, he was an icon, so they would follow him around. You know, Dr. Schweitzer, this and that. You know, he was like this. So one day, they're all walking as he's giving them a tour of the land and the whole place. And he noticed just at a distance that there was a woman who was carrying a big, heavy load of wood so that she can go back and get her furnace and all that to work at home. She could cook. And when he noticed it, he said to the group, excuse me a second. Now, this was a man now, they say the story that he was in his late 80s, very active, but he was a, you know, elderly man now, and he left the group and ran up there, took the wood from her, put it on his back, and kept carrying it. And he carried it all the way up the hill, and when he got to the top of the hill, he dropped it off for her. The lady obviously thanked him, and they moved on, and then the group was admired. You know, this group of young people that saw him do this, it was admired. Why didn't you ask us for help? You know, why do you do things like that? And, you know, at your age, they were in awe that this man would do that. And he turned and looked at the group, and he pointed at the woman. He said, no one should have to carry a load like that on their own. No one should have to carry a load like that on their own. If you think about it, many people in our world are carrying burdens that are too great for them. Many people are, in a way, overwhelmed by difficulties and struggle, physical, emotional, psychological, all kinds of problems and issues. And as Christians, you and I are called to lighten the burden, lighten the load. Isn't that what Jesus did for us? He laid down his life for his friends. He gave it all. And so you and I are called to imitate that love. It's not easy, but that is our number one assignment. You know, all of us have a love thermometer. I want you to think today of your love thermometer. There are times when we spend a lot of time thinking about ourselves, our needs, our desires. And sometimes we're selfish. When that happens, the thermometer gets a bit low. But when we have time for others, make time for others, do things for others, when we go out of our comfort zone to help someone else, the thermometer goes up. The love thermometer goes up. I say that to you because that's what we're called to. God prunes us with his love, you know. There are things that happen in our life. There are difficulties and struggles that we face. There are things that are too great for us. God prunes us. Even through the difficult experiences of our lives, God is there to prune us so that the branches on the vine remain strong, so that we stay connected to him, abiding in his love, so his love may abide in us. When you have a chance, maybe later this week, in the coming days or weeks or months, read John 15. Read the whole thing from beginning to end. And I can assure you, in that John 15, you find the basics to what it means to be a good Christian disciple. Think about what it meant for those early Christians. Many of them giving their lives, by the way, for their faith. Remember, we call them martyrs, right? Martyrs. In our colloquial language and speech, we think of martyrs as someone who's a complainer. Oh, he's a martyr. You know, she's a martyr. They're all, oh, this hurts, that hurts. They're always complaining about something, right? So we use the word martyr kind of superficially. But the word martyr comes from a Greek word. Listen to me carefully. It comes from a Greek word which means witness. A martyr is not a whiner. A martyr is not a complainer. A martyr is not one who's always looking for some sort of suffering. A martyr is one who witnesses to the love of God. And in all of our sufferings, in all of our struggles in life, in all of the burdens that we carry, that sometimes are many, we're being pruned by God to be witnesses. Because in the midst of our pain and suffering, we can be witnesses of Jesus, witnesses of the love of Jesus. So I want you to think of John right from the beginning of 15, John 15, all the way through to where we got today. And let's make the connections, because in that early Christian community, boy, were they struggling to be followers of Jesus. Boy, were they giving their life. Boy, were they really, really having to show their love for God. They really had to show their love for God. And we're here today because of their witness. We're here today because they did not give up on following Jesus and the way of Jesus and the love of Jesus. We're here today because they witnessed to that love. And they gave their lives in love. So on this day, let's pray and ask the Lord to make us more Christ-like in our loving. To know that every act of kindness, every little thing we do to leave our comfort zone and help someone else, everything we do to give ourselves to others is ultimately what we're being called to do and to be. As followers of Jesus, we are called to be love in action. Love in action and faith in action. We look around our world, and there are many needs. But I can assure you, there's no greater need than the need for love. They used to ask Mother Teresa, the great Mother Teresa of Calcutta, Mother Teresa, where's the place where there's the greatest poverty? Where's the place that needs our help the most? People used to ask her, you know, this woman who gave herself for the poorest of the poor and for those in greatest need. He said, you know, the poorest countries are not the ones suffering from physical hunger. The poorest countries are the developed countries, the rich countries. And people would look at her like, what's she saying? Yes, because in the developed countries where people seem to have everything, I have seen the greatest need for love. If someone is poor and in need and hungry, you solve their problem when you give them a piece of bread. But when someone is lacking love, that remedy is much more complicated. That need, that hunger, is much greater. My sisters and brothers, Jesus says, love one another. It's not a suggestion. It's his command. We are called to love in a Christ-like way. And just as we are pruned by the love of God in our lives to bear fruit and fruit that will last, we're called to go out into the world and be more Christ-like loving people. For that is our mission as followers of Jesus Christ. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.